Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
All right. Start the show. Let's make it do what it do.
Let's do it. Let's get it on.
Y'all know what time it is. Tuesday night.
You know, another amazing edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man, the second show of 2022. And, you know, back to a three-man format because, again, we got some compadres down. But, you know, again, I'm just happy that everyone is ready to talk some sports. Man, we got to talk about an amazing Monday from the college football perspective, not from the coaching perspective, because we had a couple of situations that happened, couple of firings to talk about, and we'll see how the future holds. But without further ado, we have to check in with the fellas. We got Gary representing the West Coast. We missed you last week, sir. How you doing this evening?
Doing good. Missed you guys.
I caught you mid sip for the wine too. I apologize with that too. So he's getting his wine. He's getting ready. And saluting and everything.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That too. And
juicing up.
And like I said, I know you had a chance to listen to the show too. And you know, obviously, I mean, there's a lot of love. I mean, I was talking about the nostalgia of like, man, we had a 3-minute show in a minute. It was kind of crazy to see us kind of go back in time. Does not mean I don't appreciate you and Curtis by any means. I want to make sure that that's clear too. I was like, I just kind of tripped out because we haven't had a 3-minute show in a minute. So I wanted to make sure that came across to you as well too. So we definitely love the energy that you and Curtis bring. We love all of that fun stuff too. So just wanted to make sure that I got that out as well. Robert Ford, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Hey, doing great, man. I'm ready to get this party started. Feeling amazing.
Hope JQ was a good host to you on Sunday. And I know,
yeah,
unfortunately, the GOAT of the podcast is here. Yeah.
Had a great time. Obviously, the Saints won the game. That was good. Then, you know, of course, the Rams dashed our hopes. But ultimately, the Saints were responsible for not making the playoffs. Nobody else. But, you know, it was still a fun time. First time I was in a new Mercedes-Benz Stadium, too. So it was really nice. You know, I've been to several games at the Georgia Dome. So, yeah, it was really nice. Mm-hmm.
It was funny. Was JQ, was he ever talking about Matt Ryan? Like, you bastard. Like, he was always telling him, like, take, like, easy throws and stuff like that. Did he say that a couple times? Whatever.
Oh, man. If Matt Ryan had any kind of arm, he would have got that one. Yeah, he kept bashing Matt Ryan's arm on that game.
Man, he was cracking me up. He's like, you bastard, take the simple play. That's what he said all the time, man. I was like, last time we were there, we had a good time, too, you know, so. Anyway, we'll definitely dive into that as well. And like I said, I didn't really have any expectations of us winning that game, you know. So, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, it's just a whole other cluster, if you will. But we got a lot of things to discuss. Let's get this party started. You know, Gary, I can't wait to hear your thoughts. We're going to have a nice, easy – we got some time to kind of get all your full thoughts out and everything like that. But, again, don't forget to follow us on a couple of different avenues here. As always, call into the show. The number is always the same, the 424-243-9519. Follow us on the Twitter. As the kids say, we are on that, which is our handle is at 12th Man Sports. And last but not least, we are on Facebook. If you go to Facebook.com, if you put in Talking Sports the 12th Man, or if you type in 12th Man Sports, you will find us as well. Rob, again, is posting the mock draft again. What is this mock draft? What is this? We're already early in the game, too. What is this, 4.2 or something like that? 7.7?
It's the first official mock draft, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, the rest was just top players. This is the actual first mock draft with teams are assigned to a player. So this is
there
the first
is.
Preview of a mock draft.
First one out in
for
January. Got to give Rob some props. I love it, man. He is out early, man. He's out to challenge the Todd McShays and the Mel Kuypers of the world, too, man. So keep it going, Rob. We appreciate you as well as always, man.
Oh, they don't have nothing on Robert Ford.
They sure don't. They don't.
I'll tell you
all
what.
Right.
I'll be the first to say this, Rob. You know, when we're looking at these mock drafts, you know, on all these different websites and ESPN and whatever, you know, floats your boat with these sportscasters, they you're right. They got nothing on you. I think what you do with those is good. Is really good. Exceptional.
Oh, it's very exceptional. Yeah, he does a good job.
That
he's very well thought out. Everyone like that too. All right, so again, we're gonna dive into that too as well, and we gotta talk about what happened on past couple days here. We got a couple of fires that just happened. A couple of things happened recently. I know me and Gary briefly talked about this whenever you first joined on, Rob. As far as what happened, Joe Judd was among the casualties. Pretty upset about Brian Flores for Miami. Driving that, no surprises among, you know, we kind of figured that Matt Nagy would be fired among the Bears. And then, obviously, Mike Zimmer was let go. You know, obviously, who else got let go? Vic Fangio from the Broncos.
Vic Fangio.
Fangio, yeah. And then I want to say, did David Coley get fired from the Texans? I don't want to put that out there, but I know he was on there as well, too, right?
No, he did not get fired.
Okay, well, that's the last rumor, too. So I guess we'll talk about that, and a couple of these were not surprises, I'm pretty sure, right, Rob?
No, I mean, I think you just mentioned it. Brian Flores is the biggest shocking out of them all, and Miami is a team I actually would have liked to see in the playoffs because I think it would have been a tough out. They won 8 out of the last 9 games, finished the season 9-8 with a winning record. So you're really disappointed. Miami went to the playoffs last season. Just missed the playoffs this season. Like I said, a very impressive run, winning 8 out of the last 9 games. You know, if they wouldn't have laid that egg in Tennessee last week, you know, they could have definitely been in the playoffs. And I think they would have been a tough out in the playoffs. I really do. The defense is playing outstanding. You started to see the progression of Tua and his game, you know, get better. It seems as though they want to bring in an offensive-minded coach to come in here and continue to work with Tua. You know, when you got a young quarterback like that, that seems to be the trend now. These teams want to bring in an offensive-minded coach. But I totally disagree with the firing of Brian Flores. I mean, I thought what he's done the last 2 years for that organization is the best we've seen out of the Miami Dolphins for quite some time. You know, will he get another job? He may even get another job this season as a head coach. But, you know, I thought that was, you know, very discouraging to see, you know, him get axed. And like I said, I thought they were progressing, you know, right. You know, I thought they were progressing tremendously. And you saw the development of Tua's game. Brian Daboll is a guy that, you know, is a hot name that's being connected to the Dolphins, offensive coordinator for Buffalo. Also, Vance Joseph, defensive coordinator for Arizona. And Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, seems to be the three names that are floating around the most with the Dolphins right now. But I think there are going to be some more offensive-minded coaches that's going to start getting in the mix with that job as well.
Dan Quinn is not an offensive coach. I don't even know how that's even in there, but that's part of the conversation.
Coach.
But
no, he's not. I think that the Dolphins are going to regret this. Because they let a good coach go that had nothing, to me, had nothing but upside. And just like what you and I were talking about, Andre, before the show started, you know, that's the one guy I don't want the Giants to pick up. I want them to go with Harbaugh. If they get anybody, I want them to go with Harbaugh. I don't want teams out there are looking for a solid coach that can turn a program around, that's the guy that can do it. I think he should be one of the top candidates out there. If he's not, man, I'm disgusted with things. Because he's really a solid coach.
Yeah.
Matt Nagy, Joe Judge, Vic Fangio, no surprises there. I mean, could be a slight surprise. I mean, I think Zimmer's a really good football coach. Whether he's a defensive coordinator or head coach, he'll get another shot too. But I think Brian Flores is definitely the biggest shot. Excuse me, out of all the firings so far.
So of these coaches that the Dolphins are looking at, I don't think any of them are, to me, as quality as what they just gave up.
Totally agree.
And that's the real. That's horrible. You know, especially as much as I hate that one team in that division, I wanted them to have. I was disgusted.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, they did beat that one team in that division this past Sunday, and he still got fired. But they did beat that one team in that division, and he still got fired this past weekend.
I know. Right.
It's funny because Gary and I were talking earlier, and he was like, you know, he hopes that that's the one. He hopes that the Giants actually will hire Jim Harbaugh, which that's the report, which is pretty interesting too, because we had some talk about this last week, and we were talking about Jim Harbaugh as being connected to the Bears, and you know, Gary was saying that he doesn't think that Jim Harbaugh is a good coach, Rob. So you know, again, college aside, you know, obviously he's gonna probably beat Ohio State one out of every five seasons, something crazy like that. So he's actually kind of proven Gary's point, but maybe he's more suited for the NFL. I don't know. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
No, I don't think he is, because he's too much of a rah-rah, in-your-face type of a guy. And those professionals...
That's what we don't need.
They'll take a little of that, but it wears off real quick. He had 49ers. He had the 49ers really going, and all of a sudden those guys were like, man, we're tired of this guy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think what if he does return to the NFL, I think what he could, you know, I was watching that Michigan-Georgia game in the semifinals, and one interesting fact in that game, Georgia has 20 five-star recruits on their team, Michigan 3. Mm-hmm. And you know, kind of like you wonder why Brian Kelly leaves Notre Dame to go to LSU, right? And it's not that Notre Dame or Michigan can't go 10-2 or 11-1, but by the time they get to the playoffs, they don't have the elite talent that the Alabamas and Georgias or the LSU have if you get to a playoff, right? And that could be what Jim Harbaugh is looking at here. You know, can he go 10-2, 9-3 in Michigan, 11-1. But then when you get to the playoffs, it's going to be tough to beat. And now you got Texas A&M, who got a world-class recruit this past season. I mean, I think they're saying that this Texas A&M class is the best ever, even better than last year's Alabama class. So it's another SEC school that's getting elite talent coming in there too. So, you know, either he goes to an SEC school where he can get big-time recruits, or he goes back to the NFL. Because he probably figures, hey, it's going to be a tough goal for me to win the national championship here at Michigan.
There you go. Well, I mean,
yeah.
Like I said, it is pretty interesting, because whenever you're kind of looking at that, and you know, speaking of Notre Dame, I was talking to somebody and like, man, remember Notre Dame was able to grab some great talent like Rocket Ishmael, and like, you know, we had some, you know, back that was seems like almost like a like years ago, you know, but again, it's kind of a different landscape now as far as with that with the Rocket taking me back to, but
yeah,
you know,
well, in the 70s, Notre Dame was the premier football program.
Go ahead, Gary, what you said?
Was that in Lou Holtz days? Was that Rocket Ishmael?
Rocket was Lou Holtz days,
Yeah.
Lou Holtz was one of those charismatic guys that, you know, could recruit, you know, and kind of did things his way. So I don't think they've had that since.
He kind of reminds me of the, like you said, a charismatic guy, kind of similar like a Deion Sanders, able to get certain recruits too, because just his, you know, charisma and whatnot too. So, you know, again, but that's just like a lifetime ago too. So I don't know if you want to comment on any of the coaches that were fired. I mean, obviously, these are some interesting openings. There's a ton of situations that are happening right now, too.
You kind of feel for Mike Zimmer because, you know, Mike Zimmer's fate is tied to, as JQ says, you know, that bum of a quarterback with Kirk Cousins. And, you know, just again, they're talking about he's going to kind of get another opportunity. And just he hitched his, you know, thing, get up to the wrong quarterback, if you will, too, because Kirk's been playing terrible. They got some great talent, obviously, with, you know, obviously Justin Jefferson and whatnot, too. But they just been it, haven't been able to get over the hump. And that defense has been pretty – I think the defense has been pretty solid, but – just offensively, he hasn't been able to do anything with that quarterback play, right? You know, so it's just a,
tough
situation.
Kirk Cousins had a pretty good season this year. When you look at it,
okay,
this is probably one of his best seasons ever.
What, Andre? He's still Kirk Cousins.
He's still Kirk Cousins.
He had a good season for Kirk Cousins.
But remember, whenever
could be worse than my cousin's
season. Oh, that's funny. Remember whenever Dak had his great season and the Cowboys still didn't do that great? You know, it's like sometimes stats, you know, can kind of mask certain things too, right? They can be deceiving in certain things too. This guy had he had 5,000 yards, but your team lost. That's not helping certain situations too, you know. But, I mean, I get you as far as that, but it's just you have one kind of aberration for the season too. And it's just like it wasn't enough to save your coach's job.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, you know, ultimately, Minnesota, one thing that they always had under Mike Zimmer was a good defense. And this year, they underachieved defensively big time. Well, I can't say underachieved. They didn't quite have the personnel defensively that they've had in the years past. They didn't have that pass rush on the defensive line. They had Danielle Hunter, and that was about it on the defense. Harrison Smith on the back end. But this year was a year they really struggled on the defensive side of the football. And that was actually the big weakness of the team this year, not so much. Like I said, there's an aberration with Kirk Cousins this season, but this year he had, you know, a fairly decent season. It was really more about their defense. I mean, Justin Jefferson, I mean, he had another unreal season. You look at this past weekend against the Bears, he had another 100-yard game and a touchdown. So a phenomenal weapon there on a perimeter. You know, Dalvin Cook, you know, you got to keep him healthy too. You know, he's healthy every other game. You know, one game he's in playing great, next game he's out, you know. So you need him healthy for at least 14, 15 games of the season as opposed to just 8 or 9.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if Dan Quinn, you know, goes and coaches somewhere else, that the Cowboys go out and get Zimmer as their defensive coordinator. They've been tied to him in a few different conversations. Mm-hmm. So, I'd rather not lose Dan Quinn. What's that?
Zimmer's going to be a high commodity on the defensive side of football. If he doesn't get the head coaching job, he's going to be a high commodity as a defensive coordinator. There's nothing about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's tough because I think there are some coaches that are better as coordinators, right? You know, it just seems like that way. Just not that they can't handle. That's just kind of – they just seem to fit that role pretty well. Let's get to some predictions, if you will, here. We have some pretty hot stuff. Obviously, we're going to start with the Raiders at the Bengals, and we're still waiting for – I don't know, Gary, if you want to save that sandwich for whenever both JQ and Curtis – I'm sorry, JQ Curtis and Rob on the line. Mm-hmm. Well, too, but we can talk about some situations with that too. Kind of get the first prediction out the way with the Raiders at the Bengals. You know, the Raiders kind of limp into the playoffs here because, you know, again, you know, whatever you can talk about Derek Carr, and you have a very, very hot Bengals team, if you will, too. So, what's for this one? They're at the Bengals. What say you on this one, Gary? I'll start with you, Gary, for this one.
Well, I definitely think the Bengals are going to win this game. I think the Raiders hobbled in, and the Raiders are going to hobble out. I think it's going to be fairly close for a while, but I think overall, I think just, you know, if you just look at the entire team, you know, the line, the running game, the receivers, the defense, everything. Yeah. And then you're playing in hostile territory. I think that the Raiders are, you know, I think they're doomed. I think they're going to lose. And my prediction on that would be a 10-point loss in that particular game. That's going to be one of the biggest point spreads to me, I think, is that particular game. I think it's going to be a 10-point Cincinnati win.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I like the Bengals in this game, too. You know, resting Joe Burrow, I think it was going to turn out to be beneficial for them, even though they had an opportunity to get a slightly better seed. But I think ultimately it's going to turn out to be better for them. And offensively, they're just going to be a tough out. Burrow, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon.
Yep.
He's just got weapons all over the field. And defense, they're not a great defensive team, but they're a solid, mm-hmm. They're an opportunistic defensive team. And I like the Bengals in this game. I like the Bengals as an outside chance to make it to the AFC Championship game. I really do. And, you know, I don't think they'll make it to the Super Bowl, but I think they could be a sleeper as far as making it to the AFC Championship game with that offense. So I'm gonna go here 31-20, Cincinnati winning at home.
Sure. I was gonna go 34-17. That's how much I was gonna think, but I just predicted them to kind of go. Yeah. In favor of the Bengals. So a lot of love. Shout out to JQ, the goat of the podcast, if you will, too. Another interesting matchup here. We got Gary's favorite team, the Patriots, at the Bills. And I heard Lou. Yeah. So this is another interesting situation, too, because, you know, I'm sure, you know, Patriot Bills have been meeting up a couple times. First time, you know, we knew how Mac Jones threw the ball like three times and the Patriots ran all over him. And then, you know, he had a little comeback, the Bills here. And then this is another meeting here. So in the playoffs. So do you think Bill Belichick has something up his sleeve, Ross, this particular one or what for this matchup?
I think the Patriots are starting. I think if you look at them the way over the last 2 weeks, they're starting to fade. And Mac Jones is starting to make some rookie mistakes here. So I like Buffalo in this game at home. I know New England went on the road and won at Buffalo this year by running the ball. By throwing the ball just three times in that game. You know, it's looking like it's going to be a very cold football game with some snow in Buffalo this weekend. And I think Buffalo is going to. I think New England is fading, and Buffalo is starting to play a little bit better right now. So I'm going to go with Buffalo in a low-scoring game. I'm going to go 20-10. Buffalo winning at home.
Making Gary happy.
20-10. I think it's probably going to be closer to than that. I'm thinking maybe 20-17, but I do think Buffalo's going to win. And I think it's just going to be one of those mistakes from that rookie quarterback that is, you know, he had a good season. He had a really good season. But now this is a different season. And, yeah, Bill Belichick will have his team ready, but I just don't think they're going to have enough to go into Buffalo. As much as Buffalo has eaten it from, you know, New England for, you know, 20 years, they're ready to dish some back. This is the start of them dishing it back.
This is a tough pick. I mean, I kind of see both sides of the argument, too, as far as rookie mistakes and, you know, Mac is what he's been doing. It's kind of tough. It's kind of a situation until they knock him out, kind of what happened to Alabama and Georgia. You know, it's kind of tough, you know, for me as far as picking against Bill because he's always been able to be a good coach. But, you know, again, I can definitely see the Bills kind of, you know, doing that. So I'm still kind of leaning towards Patriots for this one, but just to be a little different from you guys, too. So that's just kind of what I got for that one. But it'll be close either way. Let's talk about the Eagles at the Bucks, and you know, the aforementioned Eagles that got whipped up here by Kerry and Curtis's Cowboys, if you will. You know, we had the Bucks having some challenges with Antonio Brown. That's hopefully behind them. And now looks like you got Tom Brady in full force ready to kind of come in. But you talked about Gary, like the Raiders limping in. It seems like, you know, same thing with the Bucks. They're kind of limping in for certain situations, too, with some injuries as well, too. So what say you about this one?
Well, they're limping in, you know, with Tom Brady, you know. So there's a difference.
For them to be quarterback, though.
I do think that Philadelphia will give them a game. I think last week, you know, with the Cowboys, you know, they beat up, you know, practice squad players, second string players, a lot of them. And they had a lot of people out as well. But on the defensive side of the ball for Philadelphia, they didn't have their guys. You know, they're gonna have their team back. You know, they've got a mobile quarterback that can, if he can, you know, keep a hold of that ball, not turn it over, you know, they can make a game of it. They're gonna lose. I picked Tampa in this one, but I think that they can lose. I think that they're gonna lose, but I think they're gonna lose. I think it's going to be a halfway decent game, actually. So we've got enough pride to keep it close for a while.
But yeah, offensive talent in the trenches as well.
My assessment of this game is pretty much on point with Gary's assessment. I think Tampa Bay wins, but I think Philadelphia makes a game of this. They're one of the best running teams in the league this year. Miles Sanders, Jalen Hurts, that offensive line, the defensive line is pretty good, too. But I'm going to, in the end, I think Tampa pulls it out. I'm going to go 28-23 Tampa in a close one in a real competitive game.
Good stuff. Are you on, Lou? What do I think you're kind of talking, you know, add your thoughts as well, too. Big game next. 49ers at Cowboys. Woo! Gary, what's for you, man? At the gate.
49ers at Cowboys, I can't wait. I can't wait to play this team. This is going to be fun. 49er Cowboys. The 49ers are a solid team. But they've got Jimmy G. And Jimmy G,
that's true.
You know,
oh my
he's
God.
Had, you know, they've had the Rams number for the last several years. But let's see how they do against the Cowboy defense. I don't think Jimmy G is going to have that same luck he had against the Rams. I think the Rams are just one of those teams that they have that really good matchup with. I think the one thing I will say about them is they're a good running football team. So the Cowboys are going to have to force Jimmy G to beat them. They're going to have to bring up everybody in the box, stop that running game or slow that running game down with that big offensive line that they've got. If they can slow that running game down, and I believe they will, then all we need is Jimmy G to, you know,
make a mistake.
Throw a couple of those ducks up there. Because guess what? Diggs won't. He won't drop him.
He done.
He'll be looking for that other end zone. You know,
Jimmy G
and that's going to be the difference. To me, that's going to be the difference in the game. I'm going to say 27-21 Cowboys.
Yeah, you're right. You got to be aware of this 49ers running game. I tell you, man, at one point, they were just running the ball every play against the Rams. Even, you know, they said, hey, you know, we're not going to put this game in Jimmy G's hands. And they just ran the ball down the Rams stroke. Debo Samuel, Eli Mitchell. I mean, they were just coming at them with that running game. But I think Dallas is going to be a little bit better on the defensive side of football than what the Rams were this past weekend. And, I'm going to go a slightly bigger win for the Cowboys. I'm going to go 30-20 with a win over the 49ers this week.
31-21.
Yeah, okay. No, like you said, it's interesting you see some comments, kind of former coaching buddies, if you will, obviously Dan Quinn going against Kyle Shanahan. And the one thing whenever, you know, as I can bring back the one time whenever it was proud to be a Falcon fan, because we knew that if you had Kyle Shanahan, he was just great at scheming. I never had a problem with our offense with him, and we actually knew how to, you know, run the ball, which is why I'm so disappointed with the scheme now, because they keep talking about this is what we're running, and we're not running anything that too. But you said it, Rob. I mean, he will figure out a way to run the ball, and I think that having some familiarity from the Dan Quinn side will help the Cowboys, if you will, And they will kind of force Jimmy G to make a mistake, and that's what Jimmy G will do. He will make a mistake because he's pretty bad, you know. So that's just kind of my assessment of that too. You know, I think that Cowboys will win. Like you said, it's just Jimmy G is the X factor. He must have pitchers or something because that dude is flat out terrible, if you will, too. So if they can keep them away, they can pull us out if they just keep running the ball, but the Cowboys will shut it down. If they put eight in the box, you know, whatever, you know, then that's going to be a whole other conversation. But they're going to force Jimmy G to beat them, and he will not be able to do that by any means. So there you go.
Well, as far as historical franchises, you know, this is going to be the game of the weekend, right, just from a historical standpoint when you look at what the Cowboys and the 49ers have done in their history. You know, obviously, they may not have had the recent success, but when you look at what these two franchises have done throughout their history, definitely going to have a lot of animated fan bases in this football game. The Cowboys are going to be tonight.
Yeah.
Well,
Terrell,
you're right there. The only thing I'll say about Dak Prescott is, you know, he's had three playoff games. But in those three playoff games, he's had a QBR of 77, which
nice.
Is good.
Yes.
So, you know, he will come to play. And he's a great leader, and I think that that'll be the difference. They may shut Zeke and Pollard down, that defense.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Cowboys have some weapons,
yeah,
and I think they've got a phenomenal offensive coordinator, and I hope he's still with the Cowboys next year, because he's also one that they're interviewing in some spots.
Kellen Moore,
but,
yeah.
So Kellen Moore. So I'm hoping that, you know, let's see what Kyle Shanahan can do. And the 49ers can do against the Cowboys and that offensive coordinator that they've got.
Good stuff. Another great matchup here. We got the Steelers at the Chiefs. At Arrowhead is always a tough place to play. You know, you've got a resurgent Chiefs team, if you will, and I know they've taken a couple of lumps here, obviously, but, you know, they still got Patrick Mahomes. What say you about this particular matchup, if you will, Rob?
I like the Chiefs in this one. I don't think it's going to be close, especially if Tyreek Hill is healthy in this game. Think the, you know, obviously you've got to give the Steelers credit. They made it to playoffs, but I don't think they're a playoff caliber team. And I'm going to go Steelers. Chiefs 34-16, and they win this game pretty handily. I don't think Big Ben is going to be able to keep up with Mahomes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also going with the Chiefs in this one. But this is Big Ben's last hurrah.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go out fighting.
Yeah.
And that's one proud organization. And Tomlin is a very proud and smart football coach.
I agree.
So they're going to throw some different things out there that they've seen. They're going to somewhat slow down Kansas City. They're going to lose the game, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think
not
this
at all.
Game is going to be. I think that this game is probably going to be
27-21, something like that.
I'm going to say 27-21. 27-21, Colts. Is that what you said?
Also.
Yeah.
That's
exactly what I said.
I'm sorry.
That's
well, see, great minds think alike.
I love it.
You know,
27
years on the ramp, I'm hard of hearing.
That's okay. No, you nailed it. So, right. It's definitely like you said. I think we agree with that. Certain teams, certain matchups, if you will, and like you said, I think the Steelers are going to play with some pride. You know, Najee Harris has had a great season, if you will. They're going to try to, like, you know, at least try to run the ball to keep Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines. But I think they'll eventually kind of wear out, if you will, too. So, but, you know, that's what's going to happen. Patrick Mahomes is going to do his magic. Let's pick the last game, if you will. Another great matchup here. The aforementioned Rams, and then we have the Cardinals and Kyler Murray, too. So, you know, they were everyone's darling pick earlier, especially Curtis. He loved some of the Arizona Cardinals. And then, like you said, we're still trying to figure out what's happening with Matthew Stafford. Is he still going to be that big game guy right now? Because right now he seems like he's not proving it, but it is a team game. So here's the opportunity for him to prove that he can kind of get that monkey off his back. You know, what say you about this? You know, obviously in honor of your father, Gary, we'll start with you on this one, you know, in the Rams as well. So what say you on this one?
Well, I think, first of all, with the Rams last week, that's just a team that has their number. And then with the Rams, they do the same thing to Seattle. And that's just how it is in that division. So I don't really put a lot of stock in what happened last week. But I will say that with that loss, those guys are upset. That front that front four of the Rams, you know, they're a prideful group and they're a talented group, and they're going to come after this kid. And he's going to get some passes off, and he's going to make some plays, but he's not going to make enough of them. And Curtis and I were talking about how the last couple of years, that's what's happened with Arizona, is they've come out and have just played like there's nobody in the league that's going to come close to beating them. I mean, that's how they play. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if they're starting to believe the press or, you know, believe these, you know, whatever they're reading on the internet or podcasts or whatever. But then they start coming back down to reality. But really what it is there's enough, you know, video evidence there for teams to start scheming against that. And then they're not making the adjustments to that. And so it's costing them. And it's going to cost him in this game. I do believe in Stafford. I think he's a talented quarterback, and he will win this game. The Rams will win this game.
It's nothing about his talent. I think it's just a situation where he's like the intangibles. And like I said, the Cardinals have been dealing with the loss of DeAndre Hopkins a lot. He was injured, and that's really affecting them a lot. That's what's been happening as far as with, you know, Kyler's loss is like – favorite target people too, so you know, even him, you know, kind of look around, he's gonna go ahead.
They'll have no answer for Cooper Kupp. He's just too good.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Good, Rob. Yeah. Good stuff.
Hey, you know, I think both of these teams are, you know, really kind of limping into the playoffs, if you will, too. I'm not a big fan of the way neither one of these teams are playing right now, right? And the Rams, surprisingly, their defensive front seven has been getting whipped here the last couple of weeks. And the 49ers will just whip them on the line of scrimmage this past weekend. So it's got to be concerning going into the playoffs. And, of course, Arizona's been limping for quite some time. As Andre mentioned, no DeAndre Hopkins is really hurting them. Their run defense has been really suspect as well by the Cardinals here, too. I guess I'm not a big believer in Matthew Stafford. You know, as both of you all touched on, there's no question about his talent. But, man, he makes a lot of boneheaded mistakes. And he's been – I think he's one of the league leaders in pick sixes thrown this year, too. So that's going to be huge. I'm going to still pick the Rams to win this game. I'm going to pick them 24-21. I think it may be one of the closest games of the weekend. But whoever wins this game, I do not expect them to get past the second round. I think there'll be a next round exit. But I'm going to pick the Rams to win this game.
Yeah.
That's a good score. I would go with that score as well. Yeah.
Do we already talk about some popular head coach and GM candidates? Rob, you want to kind of touch on that briefly? And then I know we want to get to top five teams into the playoffs by Gary and everything like that. And we'll definitely hit on your mock draft, too, and George's big win, if you will, too. So,
yeah, I think we touched on some of the names already, like Dan Quinn, Brian Dable, Vance Joseph, Jim Harbaugh. We talked about Brian Flores already. I think some other names to watch is going to be Doug Peterson, right? You know, he led the Eagles to win in the Super Bowl. You know, he could be a hot name with the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, we talked about, you know, putting an offensive-minded coach with Tua, but I think Jacksonville is going to want to put an offensive-minded head coach there with Trevor Lawrence to see if they can get his game to the next level. Some older names to watch will be Leslie Frazier and Todd Bowles to see if they get a second chance of being head coaches, right? Two really good defensive coordinators. I think there are going to be some names to watch. And some new head coaches, Byron Leftwich, Kellen Moore, Eric Bieniemy. Those are going to be some young head coaching candidates, offensive minds to watch. And then a couple of other people that are some sleepers. Aaron Glenn, even though he's a defense coordinator with Detroit, he's considered to be one of the hot young coaching candidates out there. You know, he could be thrown around or at least get an interview. Bill O'Brien may get another shot at the head coaching job, offensive coordinator for Alabama. Darrell Bevell, offensive coordinator for Jacksonville. And then another older name may get thrown back into the mix, Jim Caldwell. So he'll be another one to watch. So these seem to be the hot coaching names. Obviously, all of these guys are not going to get a head coaching job, but these seem to be the names that are being thrown around the most right now.
Hope some new blood in there. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, you hit it. You know, these young offensive-minded guys, and, you know, are fine and dandy, but, you know, as you touched on, Andre, you know, you've got some older defensive coaches there that I believe are definitely worthy of a head coaching position. You know, that head coaching position, it's a whole different thing. You know, some of these guys that are just because you're a good offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, as we've seen over the years we've been fans, that doesn't make you a good head coach. You know, you're the manager of that team. You're the guy that oversees stuff. But those offensive coordinators and those guys that have been a head coach before, man, they're gonna deserve some of these positions. And right. I hope we get them. I hope they get them because they're the ones that they're going to be the really exceptional managers. Because those other guys, there's going to be too much of a learning curve for them. You know, because it's a whole different, you know, you're just dealing with one aspect of a team. When you're a head coach, you're dealing with all aspects of a team.
There it is.
That's where some of these guys fail. And some of these young guys, I don't think, you know, I think Kellen Moore, as a classic example, is a very good, he's got a very good offensive football mind. But I don't know if he's ready, in my opinion. If I were looking for a head coach, I would want someone in there that has the ability to really manage my team and bring in that offensive coordinator and that defensive coordinator and those special team coaches and know what to look for and know how to run these facilities. That's what I would be looking for. And it wouldn't necessarily – it's in this day and age, it seems like it's too much of these teams going for that new – hottest young gun out there. And I think some of that has got to kind of slow down because there's a lot of really good coaches out there that they got to take a look at that have been head coaches before that would love an opportunity, you know, with some of these teams, especially a team with like Miami. You get a couple of these, you know, head coaches in there. They're the only ones. I don't think if a guy like Kellen Moore or, you know, somebody like that went into Miami, I don't think it would necessarily be a good thing. I think they would regress a little bit because he's going to take on too much of the responsibilities of all of the other stuff.
First-time coach.
With that, you know, very few of these head coaches, you know, are calling their play. They've got those offensive coordinators. He's probably going to be one of those guys that's going to want to call his play and this sort of thing. And it's too hard to run an organization and to do that every week. So I would go with one of the seasoned veterans myself.
Yeah, you know, that I think there's some value in a lot of that too. especially when you look at a guy like Bill Belichick, right? His first head coaching job was in Cleveland, 5 years there, and only one of those 5 years he took the Browns to the playoffs, right? He had Nick Saban as his defensive coordinator there in that year. But then he comes back on the second go-round, and he's been one of the best coaches in NFL history. So there are definitely some guys out here that I think will be a better head coach if you give them another opportunity.
They
have learned from their first go-round. So I do think there's some value in that. But, you know, there's still a lot of general managers who want to strike it rich and hire the next Sean McVay, the next Sean Payton, right? You know, so I think, you know, there's some GMs that are looking for that still, too. I think ultimately, I don't know, you can go, I think there's some value in either way, right? If you can find the right guy that maybe is an assistant and it's time to be a head coach. And I don't know if there's an art to picking the right head coach, but I think there's some value in either way, right? You know, there's some guys like a Todd Bowles out here who probably would be a better head coach in the second round. Brian Flores, I think, was doing a good job in his first round. With a second chance, he could probably be even better. But I do think there are some young coordinators out there that are probably be good head coaches in the league, too. You look at a Frank Wright, who's been a very underrated coach for the Colts. I mean, he hasn't taken them that far yet. I mean, Andy Reid was another guy that got better in the second go-around, right? He never won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, but he turned out to win one with the Chiefs and has taken them to another one, right? So I think either way, I think there's a lot of value in what you're seeing out there.
Yeah.
And I think just to kind of put a bow on this, it's just interesting because I think we all want some fresh blood, right? We don't want to keep seeing the retreads and stuff like that, too. So we want to see that infusion of, like you said, Rob, the Aaron Glenns, the Kellen Moores, if you will, too. But sometimes I think you want to make sure that those guys have been under a good, you know, head coach. I mean, no offense to Mike McCarthy, but, you know, if you're under, like, a Belichick, you know, there's more of an opportunity for you to be more successful because of that kind of, like, string, if you will, you know. So sometimes if you're a young coach and you have a great, you know, head guy, like, all right, I can pick up a couple things on how to delegate. That's why I think Brian Flores did such a great job, because he was under, you know, a Belichick, you know, and kind of said, all right, these are things that I can pick up and I could add, you know, as well. Same thing like Mike Vrabel, you know, he's doing really great in Tennessee, you know. So situations like that kind of hit the perfect storm, too. So it's a balance of that fresh blood, but also being under a pretty strong, you know, head guy, if you will, too. I want to get to the mock draft, too.
One other thing I'll touch on really quick is you look at the two teams with the number one seed in each conference right now. You look at Green Bay, first-time head coach, right? A young offensive-minded coach doing a phenomenal job with Green Bay. Three straight incredible seasons.
Aaron Rodgers helps with that, too, though. Just saying, but
he's got Aaron Rodgers too. But at the same time, I mean, that Green Bay team is going to the NFC Championship game the last 2 years. They didn't do that prior to that. You know, Aaron Rodgers was more of in the slump. He was actually about 3 or 4 years where his numbers were kind of down. So, you know, he's come in and done a really good job with Aaron Rodgers, right? He looked like Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel, first time head coach. He's done a phenomenal job, right? With the Tennessee Titans, and he's practically taken into the playoffs almost every year. Can you get him over the hump, though? We have to wait and see. Same with Green Bay. Can you get him over the hump and finally get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
You want to be quick for your top five, Gary? Because I want to get to the March draft, and I want to talk about Georgia, Alabama, too, really quickly as well, if that's okay. You have your top five, or you want to hold off on that?
Top five. Let's hold off on that. I want to get my thoughts together on that. Go ahead with your mock draft.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a great – so we kind of finalized some situations here, and it looks like, you know, the number one pick goes to Jacksonville again for the second time, but they already have their quarterback, so that's situation two. Number two looks like Detroit. We're not sure if they're cool with their quarterback, but I think they're going to be both defensive players, and I think this is more of a defensive draft, if I'm not mistaken, too. Rob, if you will.
Yeah, and loaded with a lot of good offensive linemen in this draft, too. I mean, it's a lot of depth on the offensive line in this draft, and a lot of good pass rushers in this draft, too. So those seem to be the positions where you're going to have a lot of value in this particular draft. Some really good linebackers, too, in this draft, too. So I think these are some key positions to look for. Right now, Jacksonville, as you mentioned, they got Trevor Lawrence, right? So I got him right off the jump drafting Evan Neal from Alabama.
Great pick.
Lineman to protect Trevor Lawrence. You still got Travis Etienne, who hopefully will be back next season, healthy for Jacksonville. So getting Evan Neal come in and help protect their franchise quarterback is going to be crucial. Detroit, hey, they're right there in Michigan, getting Aiden Hutchinson, a pass rusher right there, will be a phenomenal pick for them. Kayvon Thibodeau, Houston is a team to watch and what they want to do at the quarterback position. Davis Mills showed some really signs of encouragement here, even this past weekend. You know, over 300 yards passing, three touchdowns, 23 out of 33. I don't think Houston wants to draft a quarterback this high. You know, maybe down the road in the draft, but I got him taking Kayvon Thibodeau here, the edge rusher from Oregon. And I'm going to skip around a little bit, too, here. I got Carolina taking Kyle Hamilton, safety from Notre Dame. Carolina's got a really good front seven right now. They got to really shore up that their secondary a little bit. So I got them going with Kyle Hamilton here. The Giants got number 5 pick and number 7 pick. I have taken 2 offensive linemen right now. That's how bad they are. Hmm. They have one good offensive lineman on that, and that's Andrew Thomas. And right now he's playing left tackle. Thomas can actually swing inside and play guard. You know, I have them taking Akeem Ekwonu, who would also play tackle or guard.
Great
number
pick.
5. So now I got them taking 2 offensive linemen and Charles Cross offensive tackle from Mississippi State. It gives them a lot of flexibility on that offensive line. They need help on O-line. Like I said, they have one worthy starter on the offensive line. The other 4 starters should be on the practice squad or on somebody's bench. And so they definitely need help on the offensive line. That's been a major weakness in that franchise for quite some time. And Dre, the big surprise here, I got the Falcons taking the quarterback. You know, at some point, you got to replace Matt Bryant.
I don't
Bryant.
Think so.
I got him taking Kenny Pickett.
Matt Ryan.
Best quarterback
I don't think they
right
quarterback
in Pittsburgh.
I think we need is it too much of a reach to get Jordan Davis or offensive lineman? That's where you got to go, man. I don't know if that's too much of a reach, man. You got to shore up the trenches, man. That's me personally. We need a center. We need a right tackle. We need to beef up line. I don't know if it's too much of a reach. Defense wins champions too, man. As you saw, that's kind of where I'm going. I don't think they're going to pick quarterback. Same.
What a
but
very good pick is offensive.
Andre, the second Andre. Do you think that if the Falcons had 11 first-round picks that they could make the playoffs next year? Go ahead, Rob.
Why?
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate you, man. Thank you. I don't think it's not a different game. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, you mentioned offensive linemen, and I got Tyler Lindenbaum, who can play center or guard. I have him going number 9.
Great
then,
pick.
You know, he could be in play there for the Falcons. The Jets is another team with 2 10 picks. I got him taking Derek Stingley, cornerback from LSU. And then I got him taking the edge rusher, George Kalafdis, defensive end from Purdue at the number 4 position. So, you know, head coach and defensive minded, go out and get 2 defensive players right there in the top 10 of the draft. Like to see the Jets get another weapon here, too, possibly one of those picks. Jameson Williams tore his ACL last night. You know, we've seen this in years past where these guys can, you know, have a major injury in a bowl game and still get picked pretty high. And I still have them going number 11 to Washington right now. Washington's going to have a new name next month, so it's going to be interesting.
Yep.
I got a couple of trades in the draft. You know, Cleveland said he's sticking with Baker Mayfield. I'm not so sold on that. I got Cleveland trading up to take Matt Corral, quarterback from Ole Miss, at the number 12 spot. I got Minnesota taking the Kobe Dean, linebacker from Georgia, and trading down. Baltimore, defensive end David Ojobi from Michigan. Devin Lloyd, Gary probably saw too much of him this year in the Oregon-Utah matchups. He's been phenomenal, linebacker from Utah. I have him going to Philadelphia. Ahmad Sauce Gardner, cornerback from Cincinnati, also going to Philadelphia.
Sauce.
Philadelphia got 3 first-round picks.
Yeah.
First-round picks. I got them taking Devin Lloyd, Ahmad Sauce Gardner, and I haven't taken Chris Olave, the wide receiver from Ohio State. So some defense in the weapon. The Chargers, they're going to go ahead and get Justin Herbert another weapon. Garrett Wilson, wide receiver from Ohio State. And my New Orleans Saints, got them taking a quarterback, Malik Willis from Liberty.
I like Malik.
Got them taking a quarterback. Andrew Booth, cornerback from Clemson, going to Pittsburgh. Treylon Burks, wide receiver from Arkansas, Miami, Gatua, another weapon. Las Vegas, got him taking DeMarvin Leal, defensive tackle from Texas A&M. Jordan Davis, number 24, at Arizona, had a heck of a game last night. And JQ, Cincinnati Bengals, still need a little help on the offensive line. I got him taking Kenyon Green, offensive guard from Texas A&M, continue to protect the franchise. To me, one of the best sleeper wide receivers in this draft is Drake London from USC.
There it is.
6'5", 215 pounds, great hands. The only question is going to be his speed. I think if he can run at least a 4.5 at the combine, he could probably move up in the top 20. I got him going 26 to Detroit right now. Could be a real sleeper. Detroit, another team, has two first-round picks in this draft. Buffalo, I got him taking Darion Beavers, outside linebacker from Cincinnati. I got Tampa Bay trading up to take a quarterback for the future. Mm. Desmond Ritter from Cincinnati at the number 28 spot. So that's a little bit about the mock draft and posted on the Talking Sports with a 12-man page for you all to review it in detail.
Wow. That was in detail.
Yeah,
that was,
that's pretty good.
We
love your detailed analysis on that, Rob. It gives us some good fodder. Like I said, I think it's good for us to talk to you. You know, again, if you think Evan Neal is a top player, you know, I'm going to be curious as far as that's a good, interesting pickup, too, because I know they were kind of flip-flopping between offensive lineman or getting a defensive player. And then with the Giants, we know that they need offensive line help. I wonder if they're going to, you know, pass on, you know, their defense wasn't that great either. I wonder if they're going to pass on Derek Stingley, too. I heard they were interested in him as well, too, on the defense side, too. Maybe they'll kind of kill two birds at once, so they can either double up on the offensive line or they can kind of pick the best and kind of get another impact defensive player, or kind of go opposite with that as well, too. So there's some good stuff from that perspective as well. But, yeah, like I said, it's a good-looking draft. I'm happy to hear that it's pretty deep in a lot of things that we need, pass rushing, and then also offensive linemen, who are both things that we need selfishly, if you will, too, for my squad, too. So, you know, good stuff for that. Let's see. Do you want to do that, Gary? Or I know we're like literally a minute into the OT session, and we want to talk about Alabama. Do you want to hold off on that, or are you ready to roll? Because it's got to be pretty quick on this too. So
I'll make it quick.
Okay.
My top five teams: Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Dallas in the NFC, Buffalo, and Kansas City in the AFC. Really, you can. I think that probably the fifth spot would be the Cowboys. The rest of them, you know, it could go either any way, any order.
My top five is similar. My top two is similar to yours. I have Green Bay number one. I mentioned this on last week's show. The only thing that worries me about Green Bay, they've only beaten one elite team this year, so that concerns me a little bit. But they do have Aaron Rodgers, so I got them in the number one spot. I got Tampa Bay at the number two spot. I got the Kansas City Chiefs at number three. I got the Rams at four. And I have the Tennessee Titans, contingent if they get Derrick Henry back, at the number five spot. So those are the top five, so my top five. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. That is the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for joining. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central in Chicago. I could use some of that deep dish pizza and Italian sausage. You know, you have to send me some of that. In Albuquerque, the Bloom Festival, the home of the Bloom Festival, is going to be 9 p.m. For you all. And Gary and JQ's favorite city, Fresno, is going to be 8 p.m. For you all. And near Yosemite National Park outside of Fresno.
Yosemite.
That's right.
Shout out to Jake, you're feeling better. Shout out to Curtis, as always. A lot of love for you guys, as always, for the lifeblood of the show, too.
Let's wrap up this show here, and let's talk about the national championship game, if you will. We had a very interesting game, and I think it was kind of a battle of attrition because I think obviously Georgia pulls away, but it was kind of touch and go from the beginning because Alabama was pretty much handling Georgia. I know, Georgia was getting some pressure on Bryce Young, and obviously once Jameson Williams went out, it was more challenging for the Crimson Tide, which I know no one's crying about that, but I just think it definitely made a difference in that too because you lost two of your top receivers. You were depending on a freshman, and Bryce was almost getting it done too. So it was just interesting from that perspective. And Georgia just definitely kind of has a way to kind of pull it out. And then, obviously Bryce Young kind of trying to make things happen, forced a couple passes, and, that was kind of over that. So that's kind of my thoughts on the game. I'm curious to hear your guys' thoughts about it as well because, watching, I was like, man, I mean, Alabama, it wasn't like an ass kicking. I mean, obviously they had a good, really good defensive plan in there. And I'm curious how that's going to go over to Oregon next year with Dan Lanning because, obviously he's not going to have those type of horses. But it is ironic that Oregon's going to be playing Georgia too, which I think is going to be interesting as well. But just a lot of kind of storylines going back and forth between this game too as well. So go ahead, Rob. I know you're kind of chomping at the bit, if you will.
Yeah. I think to me one of the key things in this football game last night was Georgia's ability to stop Alabama's running game, more so than the injury to Jameson Williams. Even prior to that injury, you look at Brian Robinson, the week before against Cincinnati, he had over 200-some yards rushing. And Georgia said, nah, you ain't going to be able to do that against our defensive front. And they totally took that element out of the game, which kind of made Alabama a little one-dimensional and it forced Bryce Young into some mistakes, late in that football game. Obviously, losing Jameson Williams was huge. But I think their ability to stop and shut down their running game was the big difference, and it caught up to Alabama in the fourth quarter, right? Georgia got a couple of big plays offensively finally in the fourth quarter.
Stepman
Benson made a couple
great
of
run.
Plays. Then, of course, they forced Alabama to have to throw the football because the running game wasn't there. And then they get a pick six, right, to really put the icing on the cake there at the end of the game. But you got to give Kirby Smart a lot of credit. Hey, we're going to make them one-dimensional. We're going to stop the running game. And they were able to put a little bit more pressure on Bryce Young than they were in the SEC championship game. In hindsight, probably the best thing that happened to Georgia was losing the SEC championship game, right? They were able to make a lot of adjustments and come out and really just sealed the game in the fourth quarter last night.
Well, you know what? I got to see very little of the game, dealing with some stuff with Curtis, but just from what I saw, bits and pieces of it, I'll agree with what you said. It's just those plays down the stretch that were the difference. Those finally some offensive plays that actually, because Georgia's not an offensive team. But
sure.
They got it together. But I'll tell you what, they came to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't pick
them. They were
ready.
I
did not pick them. I thought that Alabama was just too good of a team. I didn't think that they could be stopped. And those boys came to play and proved me wrong.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Same here. I didn't pick Georgia. I wanted Georgia.
We
to win,
didn't pick
but I didn't pick them to win. And, I just thought the quarterback play, Bryce Young, was just going to have an advantage over Stetson Bennett. But like I said, Georgia's defense, we always talk about if you can run the ball and stop the run, that's going to be a key to victory in most games in the NFL. And that was a big part of last night's game. And Georgia's ability to really shut down Alabama's running game was a huge key in them pulling off that victory last night.
Just to have one more topic here before we break away, if that's okay, you guys are a little bit later. I'm going to make this quick. Kyrie.
Mm.
that was one of the topics, best point guard. You know, I heard Chauncey last night talk about it. I totally disagree with that. Magic, Kidd, Oscar Robinson, Chris Paul, John Stockton, Allen Iverson, Gary Payton, Steph Curry, Kobe, Nash. You know, there's a lot of really super point guards in the league in their prime that I would take over that head case. I'm just saying. I'm going to end it with that.
And I agree with you, Gary. And really, you know, that was a topic, you know, from what Chauncey Billups said about him, right? And but I agree. You know, is he a heck of a talent? No question about it. I mean, he's a big game player.
Oh,
he's great handles. But no, I won't say he's the most skilled point guard player ever. I mean, all the names that Gary just said are definitely in that ballpark. You know, when I think of best all-time point guards, you know, I think of Magic Johnson.
Magic.
I think of John Stockton.
Yeah.
I think of Isaiah Thomas. I think of Steve Nash.
Yeah.
All right, these are all guys that are or elite point guards, right? And I would all put them all over Kyrie Irving. And, you know, Kyrie Irving, you know, to me, he's hurting the team right now, you know?
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah,
he won't even get vaccinated. He's hurting their team right now, and
every one of these players that I mentioned, they didn't hurt their teams. Now they never dealt with anything like we're dealing with right now in their careers, but there are other things that they could have, you know, they could have cost their team different, you know, but those guys all were about, you know, making that team better and achieving. And it wasn't just about, look at me, look at what I'm doing. And when I saw that and I heard last night, I will say this, I am so proud of the Blazers last night doing what they did with the team that they had on the court, you know. Well, that was a phenomenal win for the Blazers. And those young guys played hard, beat those guys, and beat them, you know, and really, really shut them down. I thought I was really happy with that. That was a really big win for the Blazers. And they're having a horrible season, and I hope they continue to have a horrible season. Want a better draft pick. but nevertheless, that was a huge win for the Blazers to beat that team the way they did. And just to keep, you know, Durant in check, you know, because he's one of those guys that can come into, you know, any house and, you know, put up 40 on you.
Go off.
Put up 35 on you, and you can't stop it. But they did a good job with him, so I was really happy with that.
Rob, league's in good hands. I was going to say before I get to Rob, league's in good hands with John Morant and with what's happening with LaMelo Ball's playing well, too. I mean, you talk about some really good young players, if you will, too, man. So that's Charlotte's going to be a handful. They get out, you know, they got a young team, but they're playing
well,
Memphis too. And
right
obviously,
now, John Morant, you mentioned it, Andre, what he's doing right now is insane. I mean, they blew out the Lakers the other night, they beat the Warriors tonight. He is just playing at an extremely high level right now. And you look at what the Cleveland Cavaliers are doing with some young players, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley. Look at what the Chicago Bulls are doing with Zach LaVine.
Oh, Chicago Bulls.
And, they almost got a little big three right there with Ball, DeRozan, and Zach LaVine. So the Bulls are playing at an extremely high level as well. And, you know, ultimately, you know, it looks like the Warriors and the Suns in the Western Conference. I'll tell you what, you got to watch that Memphis team. They might be sneaking up in there. And I think in the East, you know, I think it's going to come down to the Bucks and Nets and possibly the Bulls as a sneaking into that top three in the Eastern Conference.
Good stuff.
Well, and the problem with the Eastern Conference is, I mean, it's tight. There's some teams that are really playing some good ball. And you get into the playoffs, and you get into a playoff series with a team like, say, Cleveland, that's playing good ball and starting to believe in themselves. They may not win the series, but every series that goes, you know, to that sixth and seventh game, man, that takes a little out of that team moving forward.
Sure.
And if you keep playing those long series like that, that can wear you out when it comes time to either be in the finals or be in the Eastern Conference Finals. And there's enough really good teams in the East, in my opinion, that you're going to have some really fun basketball to watch, some really good, close series. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yep.
Good stuff. Like I said, a really, really, really great show, guys. I know we were kind of, again, limited again, but it's good to kind of let our thoughts show. It's good to see Gary shine, so appreciate you getting an opportunity to kind of add your two cents in there and whatnot, too, because, you know, it's always good to hear that. And, you know, obviously Rob is bringing his A-game with the mock drafts and stuff like that, too. So we appreciate you posting that on the page. Appreciate you posting pictures. Good stuff seeing the statue, you know, at State Farm, if you will, seeing that, seeing Neek and everything like that. It's pretty new. So, you know, obviously.
Yeah, I had to take a picture with that Neek statue.
Yeah, that was good stuff. Good stuff. So we appreciate you. You know, obviously, I know we give each other a hard time too, but you do appreciate the fact that you do, you know, show respect to you know, even though he's a lineup player, a little things of that too, man. So appreciate you from that perspective as well, as always, you know. So
well, I don't hate the Hawks like they hate the Falcons, so that's a difference.
That's okay. Yeah, we hate the Saints too, man. Whenever I saw the thing,
if that was Jamal Anderson outside of the stadium, I wouldn't have been able to take a picture with him.
Oh, here we go. Whenever I saw the thing about
would
the Rams,
you put your fist
I was
up
like,
there,
yeah. Yeah, you know, the Rams and the kind of like, you know, I wasn't crying about that one too, Rob. No offense, man, but it's all good.
Yeah.
But the players, they,
hey, you
they
know,
go back
you
and forth
really
all the
interesting? You know, I was in Atlanta on Sunday, and, you know, we was in the we took an Uber ride, and the Uber driver, he was a Falcons fan, right? He said, "And I don't let no Saints fans in the car with me." And I was, you know, just teasing us, right? And I said, "Oh, man, you going to turn down money?" Man, you know, and so we in the car. He said, "Well, I got to really admit, though." He said, "Man, y'all got robbed, man, from being in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. That was no call against the Rams." And he said, and I said, "Wow, you're probably the first Falcon fans I've actually heard say." I didn't even bring it up. He brought it up. He said, "You're probably the first." I said, "You're probably the first Falcon fan that actually admitted that." But I said, "Hey, you know, that's long old
nice
right now."
He wanted that. He wanted that tip, man. He was being nice, man. He was being nice to you, man. So it's all good.
Oh, man. He wanted a good tip. You gave him a good tip, didn't you?
Yeah, that's what that is. Yeah.
He worked for you. He worked for big time.
Hey, y'all got robbed. Yeah, y'all got robbed. No.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't really talk junk, man, because Saints have been, you know, they've known their thing, man. So we got to win, like, three Super Bowls to even get some type of, you know, respect, because even if we win one, the Saints fans, we already won. Two of them, you know, whatever, you know, so that it's never going to go away, man. So just, it is what it is, man. So I don't care.
Well,
bad.
We
bad
only have won one, so.
I'm just, well, y'all been twice is what I'm trying to say, you know, so have we, but it's all good, you know, so, yeah. It's all good.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm getting sleepy now. Yeah, all good. All right, Gary.
Me too.
See you guys next Tuesday and everything like that. Check in with Curtis. Hopefully he's doing good too. Let us give us an update for him, and we'll check in with JK to make sure he's feeling good too. You know, as always too. So appreciate you
guys.
Yeah,
Curtis.
Great.
Praying for you, bro.
Yeah, have a great weekend, and we'll see you same time, same channel next week, gentlemen. All right.
Good night.
Be good.
Good night, people.
For the next one. Good night.
Good night.
Be safe. Celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King weekend this weekend.
That's right. We're off. We're off. You know. We'll talk about Delta and what's happening. Are you guys good to get shortages? Are you guys good with that? And there's like a lot of shortages with everyone and flights and stuff like that. You guys okay with that or what? Is that all right? Yeah.
Hey, we're hanging in there.
That's what's happening.
This Omicron variant is kind of thrown all the airlines a little bit of a curve, but we're coming out of it.
Okay.
Good deal. Be good, gentlemen. I just want to make sure I see that in the news. I'm like, I don't know if it's news or if it's actually like stuff that's actually going down too. So, but you know, all good.
It's a tough time.
Like, yeah. Hopefully we'll right the ship. All right, gentlemen, have a great rest of your evening. We'll talk to you guys. Okay.
Be safe.
Peace.
Thank you.